Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
But you're starting to ask for it, America, aren't you? You want more of it? Well, we're here to give it to you for episode 3, baby. Welcome, everyone.
And by America, we mean the 30 people who listen to this.
Approximately, yes. Including our spouses and parents, once again. Very much appreciate your support and all of this. But we are very thrilled to be back for episode 3. Got lots of good stuff for you today.
All right. We're just gonna dive right in. We're not doing our full 6 hat picks this week. We don't each have 3. Is that what we've done in the past? I can't remember.
Well, that's in theory. We've actually not done it the same way 2 weeks in a row at all. So really, we're just going to mix it up for you to keep you guessing.
Yeah. Every episode's going to be different. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an adventure. You're never going to expect it. So we're only going to be doing 3 hat picks this week. One from Jillian, one from myself. And then we're going to be diving into the roster. Sorry to give any spoilers, but it's a very weird thing that we're doing this week.
And to be fair, there haven't been a lot of soccer games. There's been like 4 soccer games in the last 2 weeks. So we don't have a lot to go from, but actually I think we have a little bit more to pull from than we thought. We've got some excellent picks for you. There's just not as many, but we're still sticking to the number 3 because it has to make sense with the title of our podcast. So
something has to be cohesive.
We're keeping it together a little bit.
And by a little bit, we mean by a thread.
The world is on fire, but Hat Picks has its shit together.
Hell yeah, we do.
All right, Anna, hit us with that number 3.
Number 3 is Kristen Press and Tobin Heath, their goals against West Ham last weekend. First of all, I will take any opportunity to talk about Kristen Press and Tobin Heath, mostly Tobin Heath, but Kristen Press too. Am I ashamed of it? No.
No.
So here we are. So that game was a really good game, actually. There were, you know, some lulls in action, but overall pretty good game. We start off in the 20th minute from a goal by Alicia Russo. We're not here to talk about her, but her goal was very good. She just was there. She didn't give up. She managed to get the ball in the back of the net. And so we're not going to overlook that. But this hat pick is not about her. But you'll hear her name like 400 more times in this little thing. So 23rd minute. This is what you're here for, folks. The ball is won at midfield and passed to Russo. Listen, I told you, you'd already hear her name again. And then Russo passes it to Heath just outside the 18. Could we call that a UNC connection? I think we could call that a UNC connection. But Russo passes it to Heath. Heath takes a quick touch. It could have been a little heavy, but even if it wasn't the intended touch that she wanted, it worked. Because it gave her the space to slam the ball straight past Mackenzie Arnold, the Australian keeper for West Ham. Like, if Mackenzie Arnold had touched that ball, she would have lost part of her body. She would have gone to space because Heath put so much power behind it.
It was a powerhouse ball. I mean, like, just watching it go. I mean, it was a bullet. It was so good.
I was, like, afraid of that kick. Like, usually a player will score a goal. There'll be power behind it. It'll be beautiful. But, like, that was, like, a rocket. And it was, like, kind of scary that her leg can have that much power behind it.
So, like, I played forward when I played soccer. And there were a few times in, like, rec leagues, you know, when you had to, like, trade positions when they were, like, we're still going to test everybody out and see how you're going to do. And there were a few times where whoever was my coach, mostly my dad, but other people it sometimes do, decided to put me in goal. And they were like, it's Jillian's turn. I'm so bad at being goalie, but I can only imagine if I was in goal at that point, like I would have like, I literally would have like ducked and covered. Like,
just, like it was got flat to the ground.
Hell no. Down to the ground. Stop, drop and roll. That shit was on fire. So
see, I was a defender and a keeper. So my initial reaction to that shot was, if I was a defender and that had hit my body, I would have gotten the wind knocked out of me. Yeah. If I was a keeper and that ball came at my hands would sting for the next like 30 minutes of the game. They might go numb and then I'd be useless.
Yep.
So yeah, just an incredible goal. Once again, impressed by Tobin Heath. Keeping on in the game, Alicia Russo. Again, she's back. Told you I'd talk about her again. She scored another goal in the 42nd minute off of like incredible service from Leah Galton off of the left side of the field. She just like Leah Galton gets to the end line, passes it over. And it was just incredible. This isn't about either of them, but again, it was a beautiful goal. So I have to mention it. Second half, late in the second half, Kristen Press. Manchester United won a free kick around the like far midline of the pitch. Can imagine it, you know, you're looking at, you know, anyway.
Great descriptor, Anna.
Yeah. I'm so good with the words. This is why we have a podcast where I speak the words. Okay, but the free kick was taken by Lucy Stanforth, another second half sub, just like Kristen Press. And Stanforth sends a ball that managed to get almost directly to the back post in a way that was reminiscent of like Megan Klingenberg, who manages to also put balls in places like that. Mm-hmm. It was very well done. And then I don't know how Kristen Press had the space, was able to do this, but she hits it first touch straight to the back post, right past Mackenzie Arnold again. And it was just like, right place, right time. Kristen Press managed to find that little bit of space because everybody in that box was covered. It was a busy little space. And she managed to find what she could and just buried the ball in the back of the net. It was just so good.
You know, I think we mentioned this a little bit last week when we mentioned Kristen Press and just how she is so able to make the difficult plays happen. This was like perfect silver platter example of that. I mean, like, dinged the post too. The service that she had, it couldn't have been better in a really, really tough situation.
Yeah. And great first goals for both Tobin Heath and Kristen Press with the club.
All right. Well, we're going to bring it back over to the United States for the number two hat pick this week, which is the Orlando Pride comeback to tie the North Carolina Courage 3-3, or as I like to call it, the stoppage goal game, trademark, Jillian Smith, 2020. Also, Anna, you can pass her in there too.
It doesn't really. You can have it. It's fine.
Okay. This game kind of started out as we expected. North Carolina strikes first. It's all good still. It was only the 19th minute, 1-0. A pretty badass goal from Dabinia in the 19th minute. And it was basically a runaway goal. Like, she literally just ran away with the ball. Like, poor Ashlyn Harris. The back line of Orlando is green, is very green, and they were struggling a little bit. And I saw Ashlyn Harris do the splits so many times trying to stop balls. But in the beginning, it didn't seem like it seemed manageable. Then, as we get to stoppage time for the first half, Orlando gives up two more goals. One from Lynn Williams, who is amazing up front. Lots of great skill, lots of great speed. Brings a ton to the North Carolina Courage front line. And another from Nabinia. Like, all in stoppage time, and they leave the half down 3-0. Like, I think I was literally texting Anna earlier in the game. I was like, man, I really hope Orlando can, like, come out of this, because North Carolina is typically a stronger team. And I was like, I really hope Orlando can pull something out of this. And literally, like, I look away for like a minute and those goals have been scored. And I was like, oh no. And I kind of lost hope.
Yeah, it was definitely rough.
Things were just not looking good. But then.
Dun, dun, dun.
How the turntables. Man, I like, it was nuts. It was nutso butso, if you will.
Like, oh, we will.
Oh, we will.
Absolutely.
So in the 54th minute, we have a goal by Marissa Vigiano. She's a young player, just drafted last year out of Northwestern in Chicago. Or Evanston, I don't know. Somewhere up there.
It's in Illinois somewhere.
Somewhere up there, up north. She has been actually the top goal scorer in this fall series for Orlando, which, to be fair, Orlando has only played 4 games this entire year, but she has scored 2 goals in those games, which is pretty good.
Impressive.
Especially for such a young player. So, Denisha Blackwood and Marta basically create a turnover situation close to midfield, sort of towards the left side, and they get the ball up to Sydney LaRue, who's basically centered. And, like, I should note, if you have not seen the highlights of this game, was roughing it with, like, a cut on her forehead and just had it, like, straight up bandaged all the way around.
Because she's a tough mama, and we love to see it.
You go, Sydney LaRue. You go, girl. But she pushes through some traffic and gets a good shot on goal, but it's blocked by the goalie, Roland. And then we see some stuff from Vigiano that would make my soccer coach dad so, so proud. Like I said earlier, he was my coach growing up a lot, and it would just, like, really piss me off. Sorry, Dad. to hear him say over and over again, follow your shots, follow your shots. But it's a really important piece of advice, and we see it paying off big time. Big time here.
Oh, yeah.
Vigiano follows the heck out of LaRue's shot, catches the rebound off of Roland, which is so key and doesn't happen all that often. And she, like, basically slide tackles. Well, she's not tackling, but she slides it in to the right side of the goal. I mean, it was so gorgeous, like, to see. I feel like this is an excellent example, not only of just following shots, but taking advantage of rebounds. And the fact that goals don't have to be just, like, fancy footwork or shot from midfield, Carly Lloyd, or, like, you know, it doesn't have to be this, like, amazing, like, mind-blowing thing.
The ball just has to get to the back of the net.
Yes, and sometimes it's just taking advantage of the situation you're in. You know, the goals that Dibinha had earlier in the game were both great, but sometimes it's just about taking advantage of what's there. And I think actually all the players who made that happen, Blackwood, Marta, LaRue, and Vigiano, all did that in their own ways. Like, Blackwood, like, stopped that ball, got it to Marta, who got it to LaRue, and made this all happen. And I just think it doesn't always have to be the fanciest thing. It does have to get to the back of the net, and they made it happen there.
Yeah, and I think particularly with that sequence of players, you get Denisha Blackwood, who's on the Jamaican national team. So she plays a lot of games against a lot of different kinds of competitors. And then you get Marta. Who is Marta? I mean,
she only has one name for a reason.
If you don't know who Marta is, because you're just one of the people in our life who loves us and listens to this because you like us, just do a YouTube search of Marta and just, like, watch her play, because it is outrageous. And then you have Sydney LaRue, who is in, she's won a World Cup. She's won gold medals. Like, she's a great, great player. And so you get this mix of the young player of Vigiano with these veterans in their own respects who are able to provide all different skills to get down to the pitch to get the goal. It's just so well done.
Yes. Excellent analysis, Anna. Well said. All right, moving on to the 71st minute. Kristen Edmonds, who is kind of a veteran player. She's 33, played in Iceland. What? That sounds terrible and cold, but also probably beautiful. Russia, equally terrible and cold. More dictators? I don't know.
Not good. Seems bad.
Seems bad. And has been with the NWSL since 2014. You know, I don't think she's a superstar, but she's a solid player.
Yeah, consistent.
Yes. And so Carrie Lawrence, who's a defender, pokes the ball through some traffic again. There's kind of a lot of clumping happening. Yeah. And she gets it to Edmonds with the outside of her right foot, just kind of sneaks it over there. And Edmonds, along with the North Carolina defense at this point, almost looks surprised that she has the ball. And, like, she gets some space, and the Courage are just, like, watching. Like, you can hear somebody saying to her, like, go, 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 go. Like,
do something.
Yes. It just all looks like it's happening in slow motion. It's nuts. But people are encouraging her to go, 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 go. And Edmonds dribbles and gets a nice lofted, but I would say slow ball. And she hits it off with her left foot in the back of the left net past Roland. And it's a pretty beautifully placed ball. But Anna mentioned last week that this might be kind of a problem spot for Roland.
I know that it's hard to get to that corner. You're making yourselves bigger as a keeper to cut off that angle. However, if balls keep getting past you in that corner, do more practice. I mean, I know it's a hard spot, and I certainly haven't been a keeper in over 10 years. So what the hell do I know? But
yeah, what the hell do you know, Anna?
Why am I even talking about this?
I think it's fair, but I also think it's fair that Roland has not seen a lot of playing time.
Right. Steph LeBay is the starting keeper for Carolina, and she opted not to travel, which is why Roland is in goal right now.
And so I think that this might be a problem spot for her, but, like, I also anticipate if she ends up seeing more playing time as she matures as a player, like, it may not be as much of a problem because it might be recognized and there might be some practice times. But this was something we just noticed in these last two games of the fall series for the Courage. So it's not like, you're never going to get out of this, Roland. But just kind of important to pay attention to. Maybe not.
Yeah, 'tis a pattern.
Yes, it is. Anyway, in the 90th minute, Allie Herron, who subbed on, she's 24, also, funny enough, played in Iceland. What?
Who knew?
Who knew? I didn't even know Iceland played soccer. Thought they were like, it's too cold. We're out.
Except for Dagny Brynja's daughter. We miss you. Come back to the Thorns with your baby. It's fine. Bring him back. Bring him.
Come back. So she signed with the Dash, but actually never made an appearance and was eventually cut this summer. I think they called it like 3 days into camp because of the coronavirus. And then at the end of June, she was cut and was placed on short-term loan to the Pride since they decided to loan out like every single senior player they had almost.
For real. They're all over in England.
So she was signed on. And so this was actually her debut and she scored. So good for her. Good for you, Allie Heron. Good girl. And so it was a set play outside the 18. Marta, Brazilian princess. gives excellent service with her left foot into the box. It's a great ball, nicely lofted, if you will.
We will.
And the Courage defense are covering Heron really well. Actually, like if you watch the highlights or watch the game, the announcers are like, you know, they're not covering Heron. And then if you look back, they correct themselves because they're like, actually, they are covering her really well. And she's still able to muscle and force her way through to get a header on this ball into the back right corner. I think what a way to start and end your season. It doesn't seem like she's had much of a chance to make a name for herself, really. I think she was actually was drafted by when they were the Seattle Reign and then never played. Like, I don't think they drafted her, but never signed her and then never got a chance to play for the, don't hold me to that, America world. But I know that she was drafted to a team, never signed, and then signed to the Houston Dash, never played. And so I think this is like basically her debut. And I just think like, way to freaking go.
Hell yeah. Prove to all those teams that didn't want to keep you that you are worth keeping.
Yes. And this, I mean, again, another stoppage goal. And especially after playing a game where, you know, being in a game where you were down and then coming on as a sub and expected to perform in your first game. I mean, it's just great. It's just great stuff.
You love to see it.
You love to see it. But like, I just have to like, in addition to all of these goals, which were great and of course led to them coming back to tie the Courage, Orlando never gave up. You know, North Carolina's back line was vulnerable for how aggressive they were on the offense. And Orlando took advantage of that. But they also, I think more importantly, didn't let a 3-0 score at the half stop them or hurt their morale. They came back with determination and that could have been a total blowout. Like as I said earlier, I thought it was going to be a blowout. I lost hope. You know, me sitting here in St. Louis, losing hope really makes a big difference for the Orlando Pride. But they turned what could have been a blowout into a draw. And I really honestly bet that felt like a victory for Orlando and a loss for North Carolina.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly because I think that this game in particular showed, at least me, that the success of the North Carolina Courage has less to do with Paul Riley's coaching skills and more to do with the kind of players that he has on his team. Because I'm sure that his coaching style and the things that he tells his players is really not changing a whole lot right now. If you expect your players to play at a certain level, you're going to be doing kind of the same things with them. So I think that the success of the North Carolina Courage has less to do with Paul Riley and more to do with the actual caliber of players that they have. And Orlando Pride, the leadership of Ashlyn Harris out of that goal as the captain, as the keeper, she holds everybody to a standard. And she even said this. There's a really great article in The Athletic with an interview with Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris, where Ashlyn Harris says, I'm not going to make myself like lower. I'm not going to make myself lesser so that these rookies can meet me. I want them all to meet me at the level that I'm at. And I think that second half of the Orlando game really, really showed that.
Definitely. I 100% agree. And what great leadership too. Ashlyn Harris does it from the goal. I think Allie Krieger usually does it pretty darn well from the back line too. They are some queens and we love them. And they do a great job leading that Orlando Pride team. And I think that these younger players, you know, they were vulnerable and they still had a tough time on that back line. But you know what? In that second half, they didn't let any goals by. And I think they stepped up to the plate and really proved themselves. And I will be honest, like when we saw how many games we had to cover for this week's podcast, we were just kind of like, oh, I'm not really sure we're going to get a whole lot of that Orlando North Carolina game. And in the words of Anna, boy, howdy, did we. But moving right along, I think that, you know, Anna and I, the first week, we made it very, very clear that we were Portland Thorns fans. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a great job last week of not talking about it too much. But this week, I think we got to bring it back to the Thorns a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because shout out to Crystal freaking Dunn for our honorable mention.
Hell yeah.
She got traded to the Portland Thorns, and she is going to add so much to an already stellar back line for them. And it's just going to be a fantastic 2021 season for her and the squad. It's dope. We love it. We love to see it.
We're amped.
Yes. So it was like kind of a weird roundabout trade situation that happened. So apparently the North Carolina Courage, where Crystal Dunn was a player, traded her to OL Reign for keeper Casey Murphy. And then OL Reign immediately traded Crystal Dunn to the Thorns for some cash money and also other draft things. Things that I do not care about in this moment because Crystal Dunn is now on the Thorns. Hell yes. You know, and I think we're actually probably going to see a lot of interesting and unexpected trades because this is an expansion draft year for the Louisville Racing team, which is a new NWSL team, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And we already saw two pretty big trades, I would say, from the Chicago Red Stars with Yuki Nagasato and Savannah McCaskill.
Yeah, I actually saw a tweet. And I don't know who tweeted it, but I'm using it now. And I thank you. And I'm sure you could search it and find it. But I saw a tweet that said that Rory Dames' mother-in-law, so Rory Dames, the head coach of the Chicago Red Stars, his mother-in-law called him and yelled at him for letting go of Yuki Nagasato, which I very much appreciated because Yuki Nagasato, not just for what she does on the pitch for the Chicago Red Stars. She does a lot in the community. Her teammates love her. Her teammates love her so much that Alyssa Nayer, Sam Kerr, and quite a few others all like posted on social media that they were sad that she was leaving Chicago and that she was leaving that team. I'm very excited to see how she does that kind of community building in Louisville. I think it'll be really fun to watch. I think it'll be really good for the team environment, and I'm amped.
It's going to be great. And I think Savannah McCaskill, who, if you have not listened to our first episode, I give a little brief intro to her, who I think is a player who is growing and becoming stronger and will add a lot to that front line. And I think this will give her a good opportunity to stand out mm-hmm. in Louisville on this new team. So I'm very excited to see that. I think we're going to see a lot of moving and shaking this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think Crystal Dunn is just kind of the start of all of that. And as we're seeing with Yuki Nagasato and Savannah McCaskill, we're just – things are changing for the NWSL.
Things are changing at the Thorns for the better. Because
yes.
Let's take stock of what that back line is now. So we have Crystal Dunn. We have Becky Sauerbrunn. We have Megan Klingenberg. Let's just note that all three of those people have won a World Cup. And then we also have Emily Mingus, who is a star on the back line for Portland.
So good.
And then off of the bench, you still have Kelly Hubley. You still have Kristen Westfall. You still have Catherine Reynolds, Maddie Pogarch. And so their back line, no matter how tired any player is always going to be top notch.
Definitely. 100%. The Thorns are going to be unstoppable. It's just going to be such a great year. So
yeah.
Very, very excited for Crystal Dunn. Excited to see what other changes are coming from this draft this and the coming year. It's going to be interesting. And we are going to have a lot of excellent things to talk about on Hat Picks.
Thank God.
Yes. Whew. We were so worried. Which brings us to, ding, ding, ding. It's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but it brings us to our number one. We don't have a jingle yet, so this is what we have. our number one, Anna, is?
The U.S. Women's National Team is back in camp.
Yay! Or they just finished it, but they were.
Yeah, but it's fine. You know, time's a flat circle. We can do what we want with this.
Indeed.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about the roster, who got called in, players that we've seen and we love and we're glad that they're back, players that are new, players that we've seen in the NWSL, players that have been called up a couple times, but nothing really stuck. So we're just going to run through that.
Hell yes, we are. It's going to be great. We're going to kind of start out with our familiar faces. these queens that we love to see time and time again, but particularly from the 2019 Women's World Cup team. I don't know if you all know this, but the U.S. Women's National Team actually won its fourth World Cup in 2019.
Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fourth, which is, how do we say, a record, as was the third one that they won the last time.
Yeah.
Yes. Anna, can you remind me really quick, how many World Cups has the U.S. men's national team won?
I'm pretty sure it's 0.
Pretty sure they didn't even get a call up to the World Cup last time.
Yeah, they didn't even qualify. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. But that's why our queens need equal pay. The fight for equal pay is very important. So anyway, we have a good number of people returning from that strong squad that we saw kick some butt last summer.
In France. Yeah.
Anna was there.
Yeah.
And she sent me videos and I sulked.
It's okay. We're going to go to the next one.
Yes. It's going to be so great. We're hoping that at that point to be so famous that they will just give us tickets to cover it. High hopes? I don't know. Pipe dream? Perhaps.
We've got a few years. It's fine. We can get there.
It's fine. Anyway, coming back around. So looking in goal, we have two of our returning goalkeepers, Ashlyn Harris and Alyssa Nair. We've mentioned them before. Alyssa Nair plays for the Red Stars. Ashlyn Harris plays for the Orlando Pride. Both incredibly strong keepers. Zero surprise in seeing them back.
Yeah. Moving on to the back line, we've got quite a few returning. We've got Abby Dahlkemper of the North Carolina Courage, Tierna Davidson of the Red Stars, Crystal Dunn of the Thorns, Allie Krieger of the Pride, Kelly O'Hara of the Utah Royals, Becky Sauerbrunn of the Thorns.
Lots of great names and faces there.
Great quality players, players who are consistently strong on the back line. Of course, they got called back into camp.
And then we have in the midfield, Lindsay Horan, who I don't even have the words to describe the kind of player that Lindsay Horan is. I do have some words in the first podcast, so you should go back and listen to that. But she's such
You're
a strong
so
player.
You're so good at plugging our podcast.
Yes, obviously. She is just so good. And it was hilarious. I was watching a video on Instagram of the camp, and they were like, Colorado native in her element. Like, everybody else is like bundled up in coats, and Lindsay Horan is just like taking her coat off like, I understand this. I played in snow. But just obviously really glad to see her back. She is such an essential player, both on the Thorns and on the U.S. Women's National Team. And then we also in the midfield have Morgan Gautreaux, who I always mispronounce her new last name.
Also known as Morgan Bryan.
Yes, Morgan Bryan. Yes, for
yeah.
People who knew her back when she wasn't married.
Which is only the two of us, because nobody else who's listening to this knows who they are.
Correct. She is also back. I think she has dealt with a lot of injury issues in recent years, but still, I think, was on the 2015 squad for the World Cup and was on this 2019 squad, but didn't get quite as many starts, but still a strong player for the Chicago Red Stars and will hopefully not be as injury ridden.
Yeah. I mean, in the 2015 World Cup, she was the youngest player on the squad. And then she almost didn't get called up to the 2019 squad because she had been dealing with injury for the 4 years kind of in between there. But Jill Ellis really wanted a player who had experienced a competition at that level. And so that's why Allie Krieger and Morgan Gautreaux got called up, because they have experience. And boy, good thing Allie Krieger got called up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the World Cup final. Just go watch it.
Allie Krieger and her power bun.
So impressive.
It's like Allie Krieger has her power bun. Becky Sauerbrunn has the power braid. We got some power hairstyles on the back line.
I love it so much.
And now we're moving on to some people who may not be called up as often, but they're still fairly familiar faces to the U.S. Women's National Team. We love Jane Campbell, who is the Houston Dash goalie, has been called up a couple times before. Oh my gosh. She has the wildest goalie glove tan that I have ever seen. Like, if you go back and see stuff from the Challenge Cup where they're accepting the trophies, like, just look at her hands. It's like, it's amazing. But a very solid goalie. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially with, we'll get to this a little bit later, with AD French of the Portland Thorns not being called up to the squad due to injury. I think it makes a lot of sense for Jane Campbell to be called up to this.
And then we also have on the back line, Midge Purse, Sky Blue. You've heard us talk about her. We love her. She's incredible. So strong. Such a smart player. She's been getting called up a lot more recently, but she's a familiar face that we have back. And then also on the back line, we have Casey Short. Casey Short has been an exceptional player, both for the Chicago Red Stars and for the U.S. Women's National Team. Would have loved to see her at the World Cup last summer. Looking forward to see what she does with the team in the future.
Yes. And then someone who has definitely been getting more call-ups recently, Lynn Williams, like we mentioned earlier, is pretty much a household name for the North Carolina Courage, I would say, multiple times. I think has been the leading goal scorer in the league, multiple times being the second leading goal scorer in the league. Brings a lot to any front line that she is on and is just continuing to get stronger as a player.
Yeah. And then moving on, we've got players who we would typically see in a U.S. Women's National Team camp, but they are currently overseas playing in England, almost all of them. And so therefore, they didn't get called into camp. So we have players that we've mentioned a ton. Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, Samantha Mewis, also Rose Lavelle and Alex Morgan, and then Emily Sonnet, who's currently playing in Sweden.
Yes. Which, just to point out that Emily Sonnet got traded from the Thorns to the Pride, but...
Bummer.
Big bummer. But the fact that she and Alex Morgan are both Orlando Pride players is a big loss to that team. And both, of course, and all of those players not being here, I mean, those are all some serious veteran and solid players who would almost assuredly have been called up if they were in the United States.
Absolutely.
So I think it's actually kind of sad to not see them be a part of this camp, but actually cool because we're seeing some really great names, which we will get to very soon. You know, there are some faces that we are not seeing that we're used to seeing, and they have been accounted for. Like, we know why, as we've named, some of them are overseas, but here's a couple more who are out for injuries or other personal reasons or commitments. Carly Lloyd, another household name. She's like one of the most famous people on the team, plays for Sky Blue FC, but has been out due to injury and has been really suffering from a lot of injuries since the 2015 World Cup, I think, where she was like the superstar. Why you probably didn't see it's probably why you didn't see her as much in the 2019 World Cup. So she still did manage to score plenty of goals. I think three in the 2019 World Cup, but has been suffering a lot of injuries. I mean, but she's also getting up there in age for a professional soccer player. I mean, I think she's like 38.
Yeah, she's getting older. She's still very valuable to the team and very useful.
But definitely.
It is harder to come back from an injury
when you're that age.
When you're that age and when you've been playing for as long as she has. Definitely. I mean, it's just how it goes.
Mal Pugh, 80, French, also out for injury. Julie Ertz, I think, is out for personal reasons. And Megan Rapinoe. I believe Anna and I were talking about it. I think she's out to prevent injury because Megan Rapinoe has also dealt with some injury stuff. And we love Megan Rapinoe. We don't want to see her get hurt.
She's out due to injury concerns.
Yes. And also supporting her queen of a partner.
God, I love Sue Bird.
And then we have a couple of players who are from the 2019 squad who we don't see and we haven't heard why. And that's Jess McDonald and Allie Long. Jess McDonald plays for the North Carolina Courage, Allie Long for OL Reign.
Yeah. I do wonder if Jess McDonald is out. I mean, she has a son. She was going pretty hard for a really long time. And so I think maybe after the Challenge Cup, she was just like, I'm going to spend time with my kid.
Right.
Which is a totally valid and good reason to take a step back. I mean, she didn't do the fall series and it could be a continuation here, but we just haven't really heard anything.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, the Challenge Cup was a really tough situation. I mean, they were living in a bubble, so they didn't have, it was over a month of not being able to see their families and tough for anybody. So obviously just speculation, but here we are
speculating. God damn it. Yeah, so we also have some new faces and some faces that we haven't seen in a while. These are all from the NWSL. We do have four college players who have been called up, and we'll talk a tiny bit about them later. But these are just some NWSL players that we wanted to mention. Aubrey Bledsoe, who's the keeper for the Washington Spirit. Sarah Gordon, who is a player for the Chicago Red Stars, Shea Groom from the Houston Dash, Christy Mewis from the Houston Dash. You've heard us talk a ton about those two. Ashley Sanchez of the Washington Spirit, Bethany Balser of OL Reign, Ashley Hatch of the Washington Spirit, Sophia Smith of the Portland Thorns, and Kaylia Watt of the Chicago Red Stars.
Chicago had like 6 call-ups to this team. They had a lot of people.
Chicago had a ton, which was super cool to see. Washington Spirit had a fair amount, particularly from this new like group of players that we're talking about here. So that was also pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have seen more Thorns, but you know, whatever, it's fine. Half of them are not even in this country.
It's cool. It's fine. But Crystal Dunn is now a Thorn, so.
Hell yeah. Did my voice just crack from excitement?
Hell yes. And so this is kind of like a number one hat pick merged in with what we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth this week. So we're just super amped to see all of these wonderful, wonderful players called up. New faces, old faces. Not like old, like familiar.
Like they're old people.
Yes, you're very old.
And then before we kind of get into the other players that we have, or the players that we want to get into a little bit more here, we do have the college players. I'm just going to do a quick brief discussion about them. Neither Jillian nor I watch a lot of college soccer. So on the back line, we have Naomi Girma, who plays for Stanford. She's 20 years old, has a ton of experience with like the youth national team. She has the experience at the international level, which is super great for the U.S. women's national team. In the midfield, we have Jalen Howell, who plays for Florida State University, also has a good amount of experience with the youth national teams. Katarina Macario, who plays for, again, Stanford, another Stanford player. Super cool. She just got her U.S. citizenship like 2 weeks ago, so she's in the process to be able to play for the U.S. women's national team and all the whole hoops that she has to jump through in the rigmarole. So that'll be super cool to see down the line moving forward. And then we also have Mia Fischel, who plays for UCLA. And so that will also be super fun to see. She has a lot of experience with the national team at the youth level as well.
She's a baby. She's like 19.
Yeah, she went to Patrick Henry High School in San Diego, which is cool because I know where that is. Not so cool for you, but it's a fact.
Anna's from San Diego originally. She spends most of her time in the armpit, but she's from San Diego.
Yeah.
Crack myself up.
It's all that is true.
Cool. Yes. So very excited to see new players coming up, especially these college players, and a lot of players of color too being called up. Very, very exciting to see that. And, you know, we have been seeing more and more of that. And I think this camp just upped those numbers a bunch. And so really, really great to see.
Yeah. And I also think that speaks to the overall work that U.S. soccer and I think people who are interested in sports have been doing to make sport more inclusive
and accessible.
Yeah, because it really starts at the youth level. Mm-hmm. And so the effort has been put in to encourage people other than white people to play the sport. And so I hope that it's only going to, you know, grow from here so that the inclusivity and the accessibility of the sport grows. But yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about Sarah Gordon. Sarah Gordon, as I mentioned, she plays for the Chicago Red Stars. I want to talk about her a little bit more as one of these new faces that have been called up because I think that she is a very strong player and I have been a fan of hers for quite some time. And to see her getting the call up again, she got called up, I think, last year, at the end of last year, but we'll get into a little bit more. So Sarah Gordon is 28. She went to DePaul University. She's a mom. So like, go her. We haven't had a lot of moms on the team in recent years. Last in the 2019 squad, it was just McDonald. Mm-hmm. So that's great. She was drafted by Chicago. She's only ever played for the Red Stars in 2016, and she's been with them ever since. From the start of her career to 2019, her success rate in tackles is 82%.
Dang.
Like, I'm not 82% successful in anything. Like,
no.
It's just like such an impressive rate. I didn't take it out of the Challenge Cup or the Fall Series because stats are just like a little skewed out of that in general. But she did play every minute of the Challenge Cup and almost every game of the fall series. Mm-hmm. She has become such an important figure on the back line for Chicago. I think it's going to be really good to see the relationship between Alyssa Nair and Sarah Gordon on the back line for the U.S. Mm-hmm. Women's National Team potentially moving forward. They already have a chemistry that for the most part works for them in Chicago. And I'm interested to see how that translates here, particularly with other players like a Crystal Dunn, like a Abby Dahlkemper and Becky Sauerbrunn. I'm very excited to see what she does moving forward. I think that a lot of her experience in the past few years has come because in 2016, 2017, she didn't get a lot of play time. It was like 100 minutes the first season, like I think 224 minutes in her 2017 season. And then in 2018, that jumped. She became an integral part of the back line and she played 1,246 minutes.
Wow.
Which is a huge jump. Rory Dames clearly saw something in her that he needed on the field, which just has been really fun and also really interesting to see how her success has grown as a player. Also, an interesting thing to note, as I mentioned, her first call up to the U.S. Women's National Team was back in December of 2019, and she is the only player on the squad currently that got called up that has no experience in any of the U.S. like youth programs.
Wow, yeah, that is really, wow.
So I really like seeing a player who doesn't have the same kind of experience, but has the same kind of hustle that you want to see in a player at an international level.
And this was not planned, but the person that I'm going to talk about tonight, also a Chicago Red Stars player, but hasn't been one for very long, Kalia Watt, who also is 28 years old, out of UNC. Go Tar Heels. If you all don't know this, if you're new to soccer, you're new to the podcast, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has a very long history of producing super fantastic, amazing players. They have a great women's soccer program there. Our queen of queens, Mia Hamm, was a Tar Heel. Tobin Heath, also a Tar Heel.
Crystal Dunn, Ashlyn Harris, Allie Long. The list goes on.
It goes on for so long. So I think it makes sense that we see somebody coming out of such a strong program, not only getting this call up, but she is also a very strong player in the NWSL and has been doing really great things for the Red Stars. So she got traded back in 2019.
Yes.
Traded to Chicago for Katie Naughton. She used to play for the Houston Dash, was drafted by them back in 2014. I think she's second overall pick, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Yes.
she good. She do good soccer.
This is fun. But eventually went on to become captain for the Houston Dash, and she scored a lot in 2016. Like, a lot, a lot. Like, tied for golden boot a lot. With Lynn Williams. Classic. Who I think Lynn Williams only got it because she had more assists. Only got it. But I think that just shows that she's a very, very strong player. I mean, I could talk about how great she did in college too, but just know that she played for UNC Chapel Hill and she's good. She ended up getting injured in 2017 with an ACL tear, which is terrible and awful, and was forced to miss the rest of the season. But she came back in 2018 and still managed to score 5 goals in the remainder of that season. So she is overall a really great player. I think she started almost every game for the Chicago Red Stars in the Challenge Cup, started every game in the fall series, a consistent goal scorer, a very strong forward. And I think that, you know, if we're talking about like kind of placing these players in with some of the veterans who are already up there and on the front line, actually, the funny thing is that we don't have a lot of returning forwards.
No, most of them are overseas right now or injured.
So it wasn't, you know, it's not something that in this particular camp we would be able to see from Kalia Watt, but to see her, like watching her up front with a Tobin Heath, with an Alex Morgan, seeing the kind of chemistry that she could bring with some of those players who have a lot more experience playing for the national team could be really great. And I think that also want to point out that soccer takes a lot of depth perception, especially scoring goals. And Kalia Watt is almost legally blind in one eye. And so just when I've heard her talk about it, I think that it's just been that way for so long. I don't think that she really notices it too much, but just want to shout out like how much skill it takes to be able to do that. And I think that she could do so many good things for the national team. She's a strong player, not just in her skill level, but like physically very strong, has decent speed. And looking at the, like I said, we love a stat. looking at her stats, like has a pretty good success rate as well. You know, I don't know if it's quite as good as Sarah Gordon, but still pretty good passing accuracy as well as pretty good tackling as well. I don't know. I think could be a real leader. And I think maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to get this call up had some of those people not been overseas. So I'm glad that some of these players who don't always get this attention are getting some attention. And I think she is incredibly deserving of this call up, especially because of her performance in the Challenge Cup and in the fall series.
Yeah. And I think this isn't her first time getting called up. She's gotten a cap or two from the U.S. Women's National Team in the past. She or Lynn Williams are tied for the fastest goal ever scored in a U.S. Women's National Team game. They each scored within like the first like 2 or 3 minutes of one of their first caps. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. But I don't think in the past, I don't think that the coaching staff or whatever was happening was the right time for her to be there. I think that in the past, particularly Jill Ellis had a set kind of system, had a set kind of player that she wanted on the team. And I think with Vlatko as the head coach now, there's more of an opportunity for a player like Kalia Watt to find her space, to make a name for herself there. And I'm really glad that Vlatko Andonovski is giving her this chance right now because she totally deserves it. She's super talented. And I am really excited to see what she's able to do with the team moving forward.
For sure. You know, these players that haven't been called up before or haven't been called up often, this is just a really wonderful opportunity for them to have the spotlight and to get to prove themselves too. I think some people that we have talked about a lot that we're not going to go into anymore tonight, but just like Shea Groom, Christy Mewis, great examples of people who called up before, not a lot, but get a chance to kind of show off what they've been doing. And I think the sort of uniqueness of the Challenge Cup and Fall series is it feels like there has been like a magnifying glass on the seasons. And so we've seen a lot more soccer in a shorter period of time. And so there, I think, has been more attention. We've actually seen some records in NWSL viewership.
Yeah.
Yay. So these players are just getting more of an opportunity under a microscope to prove what they can do. And there's a lot of people that we're not going to go into tonight, but I really hope that everybody just kind of takes a look at some of these players, follow them on social media, see what they have, because they're all really fantastic. And I think I'm really excited, especially about these very young players who, you know, in the coming years, we're going to see some of these people cycle off that we're really used to seeing. And so I think we're starting to see the future of the U.S. Women's National Team coming up here and now. And so this is very exciting, which is why it was our number one hat pick.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So take a look. Do some research. We can't do it all for you. Anna did like an A+ job doing this research for us, by the way. She has like this amazing Google Doc. Shout out, Anna. Great work.
Thanks.
So yeah, so camp just ended very recently.
Yesterday. It ended yesterday. Yeah. It was the last day.
Which was October 28th. Yes. This is going to be a while before this goes out.
Yeah, yeah. Camp ended October 28th.
But especially as I think, I don't know if you all know this, but it seems pretty clear that the coronavirus is not going away in the United States. So I think that we are having to figure out a new way to do sports in the United States. I think the NWSL has been doing a great job of that. Has actually been a leader in doing that.
The first American sport back.
Ooh, zero positive tests.
Yeah.
But I think as we venture into 2021, most likely still having to deal with this, I think that the league is probably going to continue to get more creative and get better. And I think that we're going to see more soccer in 2021 than we did in 2020. And so I think we're going to see more from these players. We're going to see more U.S. Women's National Team camps, call-ups, opportunities, maybe even some international friendlies if things get better. Fingers crossed.
I mean, it wasn't really working in Europe. England and Germany had to cancel their game because someone on the England staff had a positive test. So
maybe in like October of 2021, maybe things will be better.
Eventually we'll get to see some soccer.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if like we see a She Believes Cup in the spring of next year, if we create like a certain bubble kind of situation with that. But I think be on the lookout for these players. look for some great stuff coming from them and check them out.
Hell yeah. And speaking of good stuff you should look out for, you should follow us on social media, on Twitter and on Instagram. We are at HatPigsPod. And if you have the desire to reach out to us via email,
Burning questions.
You just really want to chat with us. You can email us at hatpigspod@gmail.com.
Please do. We'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts.
Your feelings.
Yes.
I don't.
I like feelings. Anna doesn't.
Don't email us your feelings, please.
Or just say to Jillian specifically.
I'll just ignore that one.
You can sit this one out.
Thanks.
But thank you so much for listening. I think all our episodes are probably going to be different, so don't expect a typical format, but, you know, maybe one day it'll be the same and we'll do a repeat.
Yeah, in 3 years.
But thank you for joining us today. I think that some of the WSL games are going to be starting back up again, so we're going to have some more content to cover. The NWSL Fall Series is officially over, so that is the last of NWSL play for 2020. But I think we've got some W League stuff coming up in the near future. And just as a heads up, you know, as we get closer to the holidays, we might cover some past games, like some historical games.
Some historically significant games that have happened.
And do some hat picks from those. So if you are worried about a lack of content, don't be.
We're here for you. We've got the content.
It's going to be great. But thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jillian.
I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast. Crushed it.